This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
Good morning. I'm well.
I am well also. Good morning.
It was a nice moon this morning, huh, Dave?
Yes,
it was different than last week, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. I think it was. Not only was it larger this morning, or is it larger this morning? No, I guess it's the same size. There was fuller this morning, but it's there.
It's actually there.
It's actually there. So I
and not
don't
a figment
think,
of your imagination.
I think my sister will not text me and tell me that there was not a moon this morning, and then I won't talk to my mom two or three times during the week to remind me. My mom called me last night to tell me the moon was going to be full tomorrow.
It was gorgeous driving in.
Oh, it is beautiful.
It was a beautiful day. It's a little chilly out.
It was chilly.
It was 43 on my way in.
That's what clothing is for.
Well, that's what I was wearing.
Okay,
there's
good.
No bad weather, only bad clothing, weather
equipment.
Choices, right?
No bad weather, only bad equipment. If you don't have the proper equipment.
No, you know, I got a friend that lives in Cody, Wyoming, and yeah, it's bad weather.
Yeah.
It was freaking cold back there. Well, Texas was cold, too.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. That's what we're seeing now, too, how that has come.
It's coming.
It has come around to catch us here in California.
And now, we thought we were just going to bask in the warm glow of the sun and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's not turning out that
way. No.
So we have marauding bands of cash-carrying nurserymen coming through the state trying to buy
our plants.
The limited supply that we have available here, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, you know, interesting.
Speaking of the moon, I was at a seminar one time, and I can't even remember what it was about. But the person that was conducting it said, "How many phases of the moon are there?" And people were writing down, you know, there's four, and there's eight, or whatever. And she said, "There's 28 because there's
the lunar cycle
is 28 days. So every day, the moon is a little bit different until you get to day 28."
I would agree with that. Yes. And I guess you could break it down by the second minute if you want to.
Yeah. But I thought that was an interesting perspective because the
grade
answers,
school charts.
The answers were just across the board, but nobody picked 28. So anyway, a little bit of trivia.
Like, just to let you all know out there that Jennifer, if you need to call and correct something for me, I don't have my phone. I left it in the car, so I'm not going to get the information. So
Do you need a lot of correcting? Is that something that happens weekly?
Yeah.
Weekly.
How many phases in correction of David are there in a daily cycle? Many,
I would say. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you.
Did anybody hear, because I don't have my phone to look up the weather, they were still kind of trying to figure out.
We're not getting any rain, though, right?
Okay, well, that's what they – some models, two models say wet solutions and two models say dry solutions, and they haven't come into agreement yet.
I just heard it was going to be – I thought I heard last night on the news, mid-60s today into the 70s tomorrow.
It should be a beautiful weekend. They're talking about Tuesday, Wednesday, I think, is when it might
potential happen. For some rain on Tuesday.
I'd look it up, but I can't.
That's all right.
Okay. Now you can go to, sorry. Please
should we
continue.
Move on?
Move along, Douglas. Move along.
There was a discussion that came up, I guess it was yesterday, At least that's where I wrote the information down on what the difference between catnip and catmint is.
And interestingly, we had this conversation maybe about, 18 months ago?
Something like that.
And we actually talked about it on the radio.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, none of us could remember the difference between it.
Yes, but there was one little part about that that has been left out of this discussion so far.
What's that?
I took the phone call. I asked George what the difference was, and he said to me, you should have listened to the radio. It was discussed on the radio. And I said, yes, but I never listened to us. And so I asked him for the answer, and he didn't know it
and,
either.
And he should have listened to the radio as
yes,
well.
Yes, but he
that
implied.
Said, I do. Yeah. So there is a difference, obviously. They both attract bees. They both attract hummingbirds. I'm sorry, bees and butterflies, not hummingbirds. Both easy to grow. But the catnip has whiter flowers. It looks more weedish. It looks more like a weed, something that you don't want in the garden, as where the cat mint is neater and makes a better, you know, shrub, flower, yeah, landscape plant.
Do either of them have anything to do with cats?
And the cat mint has more of a lavender flower.
Yeah, cats are more attracted to
catnip.
Catnip.
Right.
Than cat mint. More likely to be attracted to catnip rather than cat mint.
Well, thank you, George. And if you would just set that aside.
Because it'll come up again in about 18 months, and I'll try to remember it.
Okay.
It is true, though, how that happens. You talk about it, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
I just talked about that.
I remember printing it out, and Ken and I were talking about it in the front of the store, and we chatted about it. We talked about it on radio, and I had zero
recollection
of anything about it.
No, I know.
Now, if we were texting, I'd send you a smirk emoji, but just let me give you that smirk emoji.
It looks almost the same.
Okay, thank you.
You had an interesting pest come in yesterday that I hadn't seen before.
I'm here. I can hear you.
Well,
which one? Because I had a couple yesterday. That leafhopper?
The berry.
Yeah, that was on a marionberry.
Yeah.
And it was covered with these tiny, what?
Anytime I hear the word marionberry, yeah. I smile.
Oh, okay.
That's the truth.
I usually look at Mark and smile, but I just smile.
Okay. Many of the leaves had it. They were very small, and we put under the microscope, and I didn't. At first, I thought it was a thrip, and David and I were talking. I don't think it's a thrip, and after looking, I go, no, you're right. It's not a thrip. So did a bunch of research, and there is a blackberry raspberry rose leafhopper, and that looked. It appeared to be the larva, one of the immature stages of it, and it was covered. I mean. Leaves had 10, 12 on each leaf. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Nor have I.
A sharp jet of water.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll work, because they weren't adhering to it; they were meandering around.
You know, speaking of a sharp jet of water, I did a yard doctor on Wednesday, I believe it was, and the lady had citrus in her backyard, and I was sure I was going to find lots of bugs. She was a transplant from the Bay Area, and there were almost no bugs on the foliage of her citrus trees.
That's old, unusual. Mature.
Yes. And I asked her if she sprayed them. She goes, well, anytime I see a bug, I go out with the hose and I spray it with a strong jet of water. And I guess if you're good about it, it keeps the plants clean. There was almost no scale. I did eventually find a little bit of scale, but it took a lot of effort. But almost nothing pest-wise on the plants, which... That's impressive. I guess if I were to do that, it would work. But I would do it once and say, hell, yeah, I did it. But every time she found bugs, she would go out and spray, and it kept the trees clean.
That's interesting, because I could see it, obviously, with aphids and possibly whitefly. But scale, that would surprise me.
That one surprised me.
But if you get to it regularly, you'll get it in the crawler stage. You'll blow it off before
true.
It gets to the.
You get it in the crawler, and they'll disappear.
And they disappear. The leaves were clean. It was the trees were beautiful. I was pleasantly surprised, and it's a good way to do it naturally.
Usually, when people come in with citrus, I mean, they'll have insects on scale or whatever, and I typically my standard line is. Everybody in San Diego that has a citrus tree has these bugs on them at one point or another.
She even had a Meyer lemon on it with mature Meyer lemons, and not a single speck of scale on the fruit.
Oh, yeah.
That's just crazy.
I don't have any scale on my. I picked a bunch the other day. Well,
you saw the ones I brought in. Yeah. For the.
But you know, when I teach the organic insect control class, I use water as one of the first pesticides because you know a pesticide as defined is something that controls, and so I say use a jet stream of water. But like Ken said, I didn't think it'd be that effective on scale, but it's useful on everything else. And it works well.
I was surprised, and it they were great. No dust, no dirt, no bugs. Yep.
Well, I had a customer come in yesterday who brought in, he obviously has a pond because he brought in lily pad. It must be just starting to come out because it was only about 3 inches in diameter, but it was completely covered with aphids.
I love that. We've had that at the nursery too.
And he wanted to know what he could spray on it that wouldn't hurt his
just
fish.
Dunk them. Like,
water?
Just wash them off.
Hose them into the water.
I was going to say, I think the fish would want to eat it.
Yeah, they will.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but it would. I couldn't believe how many aphids were on it.
I've seen that. It was just literally covered.
Yeah. Which is wild.
Yeah, you don't. We don't see that too often. But I've seen that in the past.
Yeah, it doesn't come up very often. Doesn't come up very often. But when it comes up, it's usually pretty bad.
I have not seen that. I have to pay a little closer attention when I'm looking at the water plants.
And I don't know that I've seen it so much on the mature ones, but this one was obviously
new growth
just starting to come out. Water lilies should be starting to.
Yeah, I guess
come
it
in
should
fairly
be breaking
soon.
Here. Yeah, it's true.
No, that's a good reminder. Thank you. I was noticing in my garden yesterday. You know, it's nice having a little bit of extra light at the end of the day. Get home and you can still see things in the yard. It's kind of nice.
I can't because I'm blinded because I have to drive west.
You shouldn't drive west. Although for the limited portion of my westerly drive on the 8 east by the Gross, or 8 west at the Grossmont Summit, it's awful.
I can imagine.
It's right there. Yeah. But the first onions, remember those stressed onions that I kept in 6-packs and let dry on the side of the house so that I would have
onions.
Short day sweet onion starts.
And you did that on purpose, right? I'm going to put these to the side. I want to have starts. Yeah.
Oh, so I planted those first, and they are way ahead of the sweet onion starts that we got in, but they're starting to bloom. I saw bloom spikes coming up. And am I not supposed to harvest when they bloom? Isn't that going to hollow out what's there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but you'll have seeds, and you can plant them again. The seeds are very pretty. I'll, bees love that, by the way, when that opens up.
Should I let some of them go
to seed? I typically let one or two just for the bees. Okay. But that's also because I'm lazy. So
earlier in the week, I noticed I had one bloom spike today or yesterday.
Several.
It's a little, there's more. But I guess I should start harvesting. But the ones that the bunches of the sweet onions that we got in January are, I don't know, I think I planted them a month behind, and they look, the foliage is smaller, but they're all developing really well. It's amazing how well things will do if you treat them according to their needs. And people too, I think sometimes, but definitely plants.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Amend the soil, water them regularly, and feed them. I thought onions were durable. You just throw them in and treat them like a drought tolerant. But I guess if something's all water and you give it no water, it's not going to do well. Is there
the things you can learn?
Yeah.
If only I'd listen to you guys. But we know I don't listen to what's happening on the radio.
Exactly. Yeah, talking about spring vegetables, it's getting to be that time. And the selection of stuff that we're getting in is, we've got pretty much everything at this point.
I was shocked.
That we can get.
Yes, what's available. And
that's going to be the problem.
That is the problem. We've made extra space, and we're putting it all out, everything that we get our hands on. And what is do we have it all, George?
No.
We just don't have what people are looking for.
We don't have what people are looking for. We have a ton of stuff out there.
Well,
and
I got my early girls, so I'm not buying that.
What surprised me was we have okra. And I was talking to a customer, and they asked me if we had okra. And I said, I don't think we don't get that usually till a little bit later because it's a very warm season crop. And I walked past the table, and there's a bunch of okra.
That was tough to find last year.
Yeah, but we're February, and we have it.
It probably will be tough to find this year, too.
So get your seeds.
Everything will be, probably, as it goes.
Well, we have been warned by two of our suppliers now, seed suppliers, who had plenty of stuff this year, that there are going to be shortages. Now, we have stocked up because of that, so there is plenty now. But if you know what you want or what you are going to want to plant from seed this year, I'd get them sooner rather than later, because I think we will have those same shortages again. And we were alluding to the fact that Texas got wiped out and they had nothing left. And the nursery people of Texas are shopping California with
cold, hard cash.
Suitcases of cash looking for inventory. And our inventory supply is already stressed and strained, and we've had tough times getting things, and it's only going to get worse.
It is. We'll talk more about that. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We were before the break, we were talking about spring vegetable gardening. And now if you're going to plant from seed, do it now. Go in and get your seed now, because we got wiped out last year.
I took home 3 6-packs of vegetables this week. I got 2 6-packs of strawberries that are still sitting on a shelf in the sun, but I did remember even this morning to water them before I left, and 1 6-pack of early girl tomatoes. And I'm going to take the early girl tomatoes and put them into pots, because my mom's going to want one, my neighbor's going to want one, I'm going to want one or two. And I know if I put them in the ground now that we're going to have that cool, wet week that's going to destroy them. Or at least make them unhappy.
We'll put the hot hat on them.
Yeah, I have those.
Well, I saw that. I saw one in the garage. I saw one sitting on your desk at work. So it's not going to do much good there.
That's exactly the problem. I will not deploy. And I do have some frost cloth that would have been useful over the potatoes 2 weeks ago. That one area where they got wiped out, they're starting to come back, but they're not as happy as the ones that did not get.
Ours have been starting to get damaged by snails and slugs. They're hitting them pretty heavily. So I just put out some more snail bait the other day.
What'd you put out?
Sluggo.
I have some of that in my garden. I have the container because it's plastic. It's all weather. It's down there where I can.
Oh, then you're fine. They'll see it. Yes. They'll stay away.
Stay away. Strawberry. We've got a ton of strawberries in right now.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. That's another one that we ran out of last year. So
we have a week or two supply in the back to keep it coming, because it's going to disappear. The same thing is happening. It's nice to have all the new gardeners. And, you know, these are not all our regular customers that are buying all this stuff up. We've had a lot of people that are starting to get back into gardening, which
that's interesting.
It heartens me.
Because there have been a number of folks that I've helped assisted out in the yard, and a great many say, oh, this is my first time here. It's a really nice nursery, or this is a nice garden. It must be fun to work here, things like that. They've never been there.
Yeah.
It's happening a lot.
Well, and we signed up thousands, literally thousands of new customers between the two stores last year. People that just hadn't been in or were open an account. So it's amazing the difference that we've seen.
And it doesn't matter how much space you have. There's always enough space
you can do.
Agreed.
If you want to do strawberries, strawberry plot works great, and it only takes up about 4 square feet, 2x2
yeah.
at the
yeah.
max
yeah.
for the largest one.
And the little redwood or plastic window boxes we have are great for lettuces and
herbs,
peas, and all sorts of things. The bush peas, you can do all sorts of things in a very small space.
In a strawberry pot, you can plant herbs in it too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And it looks nice.
Yeah, it's a nice look.
And actually, people were doing a lot of succulents in them too, spilling out a different pocket of succulents. So it doesn't matter
too. Yeah,
whatever you want to do, you can do it.
That was the other thing that surprised me last year was the increase in sales in cactus and succulents. It just seemed like it skyrocketed, and you know, I could see the run on fruit trees and vegetables and things like that. People growing their own food, but the cactus and succulent thing really surprised me.
Yeah, well, they're easy to grow, so
and they don't take a lot of water.
Yeah,
so
and then you can pinch off pieces and share them with your neighbors.
Correct.
And or you can harvest vegetables and fruit and share them with your neighbors.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm with you. Although I did a bad thing. I'm now finally harvesting my tall peas, and I'm very excited about them. So I was being a good, diligent gardener on Monday, and I spent my day, instead of hiking on Monday, I mowed and cleaned. And just so you all know, the stem of a pea down at the base, at the ground level, looks very much like a weed. So be very careful in weeding around the bases of your peas, because I ripped out one of my vines. They're not happy without roots. It looks totally different than the plants next to them that get exactly the same care.
What's different between that and the other plants?
It's very wilted, and the peas are all shriveled up.
But otherwise, they're planted exactly the same?
But you know what? It's kind of funny. I was eating a dry, shriveled pea off of the vine yesterday, and I was thinking of purity products and these other things that put all your fruits and vegetables into a tiny little capsule. It's kind of what I did naturally. I encapsulated it in its skin. And so I'm thinking I'm healthier today for it.
As long as you're thinking it, I guess that's okay.
I think there was a pause there because everyone was looking at him with tilted heads.
Yes. Like the RCA dog, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm anyway, that's how my lack of mind works. But that is what was, okay, never mind. We'll move along.
Well, back to the strawberries. You brought up an interesting point. The types of strawberries.
Correct. There are June-bearing strawberries and what are called ever-bearing. And the June-bearing give you a relatively large crop in a relatively small amount of time. I mean, a larger crop in a relatively small amount of time. And despite the name June, it could be, you know, July. It just depends on your little microclimate. But it gives you a lot of fruit at once. So if you want to make jam, or you're somebody that, you know, you're going to put strawberries up, then you want June bearing because you get a lot of fruit at once. The ever bearing tend to give you smaller quantities over a much longer period of time, late spring and summer, and often into fall.
So those would be better for walking through the garden.
You want to get your fruits and vegetables, like your peas, you could walk over and get a strawberry in the same manner.
That's
right. And so those are good for if you want, you know, 5 or 6 for the morning to throw in oatmeal, you'd want ever bearing out there.
Last year I took home some strawberries as well, and I was going to plant them and enjoy them. And I got the ever-bearing because I wanted to be able to enjoy them over a long period of time. But if they sit in their containers and don't get watered, it really doesn't
They're
happen.
Not like your onions.
No, and the root mass and the foliage dried is not the same as the actual piece of fruit dried. So I didn't eat those, and I got no benefit. But this year, it's going to happen.
I've grown them for a number of years in the pots, the strawberry pots, and I have them sitting on an old cement bench, and they're less prone to insects getting up there. It works quite well.
Have you done strawberries?
I have, yeah.
Are you going to do some this year?
You know, I don't know.
Container?
I probably will. A container in the ground. I mean, a container in the strawberry pot. It's one of those things that are...
The air came on. I don't know if everybody else can hear it as much as we can, but the AC came on in here.
I hope that's the AC.
I hope, yeah.
Do you have a favorite strawberry?
The one I liked the most was Albion.
That's the one I picked. I got 2 6 packs of Albion because Brandy, our customer, said after...
The reason I did it is one of our old customers.
Well, she's not that old.
Maybe
it's not the same person.
It is.
No, it is the same person, but she way overstudies and way overthinks it. Kind of like, oh, Yeah. I know some people that do that too, or I've been accused of. And she studied for weeks to try and figure out which one, and it was Albion that she decided. That's the only reason I selected Albion. I have no personal knowledge.
So studying, to me, the way I do it is by tasting. I like this one. And other people's opinions matter as a starting point. Try this, but it's your taste. What do you like?
That is correct. What's the Latin version of that?
I don't remember how to. I know what it is. The English translation is: in matters of taste, there can be no dispute.
Yes, there can. Look at us. Did you grow any strawberries, Ken?
No.
Are you going to? If you were going to, would you get?
I'll probably take some home and kill them.
Okay. Yeah.
As far as strawberries is concerned, the only one that I've ever grown is sequoias.
And that's
the most popular.
It is. It's a larger strawberry, June bearing.
Yeah, I think that's the only one I've ever grown.
Well, I'm going to pot up my Albions. I have pots. I have a couple of window boxes that are hanging on the chicken coop that's where I'm planning on planting them. We'll see how that all comes to fruition.
Maybe I'll get a couple of window boxes, put them out on the
there. Patio. We go. We're inspiring new gardeners.
There you go.
There's less plants for us.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. You brought up an interesting subject the other day of low water pollinators.
Correct. Yeah, if you have a lot of fruit trees, and we typically talk a lot about fruit, well, David and I, because we have a lot of fruit trees and we like them, but you need pollinators in your yard as well. And so our Wednesday wisdom was on some low water California natives that work well as pollinators. In fact, if on the Facebook page that we shared it on, there's a photograph of a bee covered in pollen, and that's on a lemonade berry in my backyard. And lemonade berry is one of the plants that's listed as a good pollinator source of nectar for pollinators.
I have a trivia question for you. As a good bee attractant, edible pollinator, and it is the only edible member of this family of plants.
And is it a Proteaceae?
It is.
And would it be a macadamia nut?
It would be.
I have one of those. That's the only Protea type thing in my yard.
The flower spikes are starting to come out on
it
right
now. Those are gorgeous. And they're fragrant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
That's not a native
pollinator, but it is blooming.
Well, it was a low water pollinator.
It's very low water, yeah.
Yeah.
They produce a lot.
They do.
When I lived in Claremont, I had one in my front yard that was it was relatively low. I don't even think it was 6 feet tall, just a big round ball. I'm pretty sure it was a Beaumont, but it seemed to produce more in alternate years. But when it was a good production year, you'd get a grocery bag of macadamia nuts off.
Yeah,
it was incredible how much it would produce.
Mine gives a large quantity as well, but I battle rats for them. Rats,
which amazes me that they can eat.
Right, because that shell is so hard.
Right through it.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing at all.
Another good evergreen tree that's like a native plant is the holly leaf cherry or the Catalina cherry. Do you have any of those?
No, but I'm gonna go off native to low water pollinators. I'm not sure.
We're going to do that right after the break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back. I learned With more Garden Talk here on KPRZ and KCBQ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170.
And George Allman.
Oh, George. I forgot about George.
Yeah. I'm short over here. Yeah. I couldn't see over my head.
You were hiding behind your laptop. We're going to go out to
Where's Waldo? What's the Kilroy? Is he the one?
Kilroy was here.
Peering over the fence.
We're going to go out to Flint Springs where Michael is waiting. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right out here. We're going to probably, I got two cherry trees, and they're one cracked already, and the other one's already cracking. The female is starting to crack. But what happened to them? What's the deal? They were doing real good. I bought them off you, and I had a real good cherry patch, and cherries came on and everything. Now this year, it's cracking and kind of dying out.
What do you mean it's cracking? I thought you were saying the flowers were
starting to
break open, but the bark is cracking?
Yeah, the trunk is cracking.
I would be concerned that last summer they got sunscald. Usually when you see that it'll be on the side of the tree that gets the most sun, and it'll be a strip that may have gotten a little bit warm on the trees, or if they get drought stress during the summer and the sun beats on them, it'll wipe out sections of the tree.
Yeah, but it's right on the trunk coming up from the ground, about 6-7 inches from the dirt up, it started cracking.
That is commonly where we will see it. If you want to email us a picture of it, be happy to take a look at it. But it is not uncommon to see that. There's also, as trees, and you would know this, I would think, but as the trees grow up and the mature, the skin is going to peel and crack naturally as the trunks expand. And the outer edges are going to crack and peel off. But if it's just a small portion, I would guess that it's on the south or west side of the tree, and that probably is from the sun.
Yes, because they got about 110 out here this summer, and then I got a little ill. I had a stroke and everything, so I'm going to shut down everything. I had a good year of pomegranates. We're selling off all the gardening tools and everything today. Let's see, we got a lot of oranges and tangerines, and fruit trees are already starting to bloom already.
Yeah, I was noticing my spicy nectar plum is in full bloom right
Mine
now.
Mine is as well.
And the bees have found it.
Yes, they have. Yeah.
So you, Mike, you're the gentleman with the farm stand in the summer out in Flint Springs, but now you're going to kind of be winding down, so you're selling off the current fruit you have plus your tools and gardening accessories. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Let me give you the address. We're having a sale today, probably. After I get off the phone, I'll probably open the gate and sell off stuff. It's 15518 Old Highway 80. We're right across the street from the old Flynn's Inn. And it's the BBQ barbecue right across the street. We've been trying to get rid of stuff because, well, the county is giving us troubles, and I don't know.
That does not surprise me at all. 11518 Flint, Old Highway 80. Yeah, I know we've had a lot of nurseries in San Diego County and throughout the state that have decided not to be in business anymore because the county and the state have made it less easy for them to
do business.
So sorry to hear it. You sound great for having had your stroke. So congratulations on coming back. But hopefully you'll get rid of everything you want to get rid of, and then you'll have more fruit and citrus for yourself to enjoy this year.
Yes, and then I got another patch out there in Boulevard, and I'm thinking of doing something out there a little smaller just for my personal use or something. But it was real good, dealing with customers and they coming over and buying the fruit. We had a really good year on the pomegranates. Right now the pomegranate trees are starting to leaf out again.
Yep. I was noticing that at my house as well. All righty, Mike, we wish you all the best. Thank you very much for calling, and hopefully we'll still get to hear from you this summer.
Have a great
Yeah, we we've been doing this for years, and my grandfather was bought stuff when we were over on Rosecrans over there.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yes, and they had, I remember going over there, and they had the stainless steel pots and everything over there, right off of Rosecrans over there.
Yeah, yeah.
All righty, Mike.
Nice talking to you, Mike. Have a great weekend. Hope everything goes
okay.
Well for you.
Okay, hey, thank you very much. Tell the people, come on out. Everything's real cheap.
Okay.
Telling everything off.
All righty.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
The stainless steel pots. Well, go ahead and get the number, and then we'll talk stainless steel pots for 13 seconds.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Yeah, we had a lot of those stainless steel pots at one point in time. I don't know. My grandfather got those surplus somewhere.
Oh, I thought those were the leftover soup pots from when that was the kitchen from.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was my story.
Yeah.
And you were sticking
to
it.
You just ruined it.
No, they. I don't remember where he got those from, but. We had a bunch of them.
Yeah, I remember those, yes.
Oh, well, to all the people I have told those were the leftover soup pots from the kitchen at General Dynamics back in the day,
yeah.
I apologize. That is was my understanding, but it was incorrect.
That was completely incorrect.
That makes for a good story, though.
Really good story.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to go talk to Phil in San Diego. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Good morning. I have two... hibiscus. They are planted in front of my big garden shed. They're both south facing, and they have almost identical wind access and water access. They're on drip, and I've checked the drip, but one plant looks like it could be a showroom plant, and the other has barely any green leaves, and it keeps putting out a few flowers. But they're night and day as far as growing. Is there something that hibiscus need, either fertilizer or soil? I have been using some organic fertilizers and keep the water. The water is steady and stable. One plant is growing beautifully and one barely gets any green.
Are they the same variety?
Same variety, okay. Planted the same year. They're about 4 years in the ground. They were both about 8 feet tall, and they have the same condition. I cut them all down to about 6 foot tall and took two of the stalks out of the sort of bush. They're kind of 6 and 7 stalks coming out of the ground together.
I would check for a couple of things. One would be gophers. I would look for something doing damage to one that is not being done to the other. There might be a gopher under one, which would severely affect it. And I would also look to make sure that the one that is not doing well wasn't planted a little too deep, that there isn't some dirt over some of the stems down low that could be causing it to defoliate. I would have expected it to have killed the plant by now if that was the case, but I would double check and make sure. Also, we've had a discussion at the nursery many times that two of us could be standing within 2 feet of each other, and the exposure could still be a little bit different. A shadow could come across one side of the shed sooner than the other. A tree 30 or 40, 50 feet away could cast a shadow on one sooner than the other. And I would look for something very subtle like that, an exposure difference between the two sides that might be causing the difference.
In this case, if they're both facing south, one of them's going to, you know, has morning sun, one has afternoon sun.
Right.
And so which one looks better, the one on the west side or the east
morning,
side?
The morning sun looks beautiful in the afternoon sun.
So the one that's doing poorly, if it's getting the same amount of water, maybe it's getting enough water to survive but not enough water to thrive because it's actually getting the hotter part of the day.
Yeah, it could be, and everything's on timer drip. It's both on the same. And
right, but if
they
but
were the, doing the, so well, they've been doing so well for 2 years, but it's just since September. The bark on all the stalks is identical to the other one. It's just there's very few leaves pushing out.
Well,
and
what George,
very few,
what George is trying to convey is that the hotter plant will need more water in the summer. And so if they're getting the same and you're not getting the same result, it is implying that the hotter one needs more water now. The longer it's been in the ground, the further away from the drippers the roots have moved. And so now it's going to need to be on longer. It may not need to go on as frequently as you were doing before, but I would try watering it longer this coming year. And this September, October, and November were extremely hot and dry. October was awful this year. And so it sounds like what you are describing is a plant that needs a little more water than its neighbor.
Okay. I'll adjust it. I'll put another dripper on it.
That should take care of it. Phil, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Say his name twice because you shorted him.
shorted him the last time.
Because it's so nice.
Yeah, I'm going to circle back here real quick.
to George Allman? No. Exactly. But I like the way you tied that in.
Well done.
Back to the proteas. We actually have a really good selection of proteas right now, which hasn't always been the case, but we've got pincushions, we've got banksias, we've got a couple of specimen plants. And when I was sitting there looking at this, there was a word that I jotted down in my notes. I couldn't figure out what it was, but it's grevilleas.
So, way to go.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that, right.
A lot of new grevillea hybrids are available.
If you guys will let me, the grevilleas are great bee attractants, super low water. They're not California natives, but they're Australian natives.
I agree.
That do exceptionally well here, and the bees love them.
They do.
We agree on all that?
Yes, we do.
And yes, we do.
And hummingbirds do as well.
They do.
And if you're a woodworker and you want a filthy tree for your yard, Grevillea robusta is actually the source of lacewood, which is a really pretty hardwood.
And
Grevillea robusta, it's a beautiful tree.
Yeah, but in the right spot, yes.
Yeah, where there's messy. Nothing around it.
Correct.
They're incredibly messy, and you definitely don't want to. Well, the foliage drop is one thing, but the sap that the flower secrete is ridiculous.
My folks have an old tree. It's been there for 50 plus years, and it's enormous, and it's attractive, and it is way out of the way. But because it's way out of the way, the debris from it has built up, and so there's a forest floor underneath it of debris. But every year, those green parrots come out to get the seeds off of them. They do the grevillea at one part of the year and the pecans at another time of the year. And they are loud. They are obnoxious, but they seem to have a lot of fun in both the grevillea and the pecan trees.
How big are the pecan trees that you're
The trunks are probably a foot in diameter, but they're volunteers, and they just shoot. They're probably 40 feet up.
Yeah, there's a there's that botanical garden in Fallbrook.
Somebody told one of us reminded you last time. I don't remember. The super cool place with the gates and the really neat plants inside.
Yeah. I can't. But they have a beautiful pecan tree outside the restaurant. It's huge.
Myrtle Creek.
Myrtle.
Is that it?
No.
No?
No, that's a different one.
It's a botanical.
And it's very nice in its own right.
Right.
However, I
think it's Grand Tradition or something. Something like that. I can't remember. But
well, you describe the tree, and then he'll find
the answer. It's just a gorgeous pecan tree. I don't think I've seen one that big in San Diego before.
Finally, there was a volunteer pecan tree that was slated for demolition at my folks' house, and then they realized it was a pecan tree and not one of the golden rain trees. And so the pecan tree is going to be kept. But finally, my father has consented to getting rid of some of the dozens of volunteer colrutarias on the property that just make such an awful mess.
Because they're such beautiful trees.
They are beautiful trees.
But I had
and
I had
a little messy.
Wherever they'd volunteer, he'd let them grow.
I had a volunteer on in my backyard. I have a big circular planter in the backyard, and I had a really nice colrutaria in that for years. But then it got borers, and it wiped it out. So we took it out. But there were volunteers growing all over the place, and we had a big one growing right on the fence line between my house and the neighbor's house. And one fall, we had a pretty big Santa Ana come through. I think I filled 3 33-gallon trash cans full of leaves and dead flowers off of that thing, and I still didn't get it all. The patio had about 6 to 8 inches of dead colorteria foliage on it.
Every week, through fall and winter, my folks have 4 of the big green, the ones that they pick up automatically. And this week, in addition to those 4, there were 6 regular cans still sitting in the yard filled with debris from the colrutarias, waiting for the trash cans to be emptied or the greens cans to be emptied so they could refill them. But I had a conversation many years ago with my dad about maybe we should take some of these out, and I will never forget his response. David, you of all people should be an advocate for trees and not want to chop them down. Okay. So there's lots of them, and now they're coming down. They're filling the pool with debris and the whole yard.
Can I circle back to the botanical garden
circle
in Fallbrook?
Back. Yes.
Yes.
It's Grand Tradition, is it? But I didn't look it up as a botanical garden because it's an estate and garden. It's as a wedding venue place.
Yes.
Okay, it was established as a wedding venue.
That's the place.
Yeah.
No, it's beautiful. If you want a day trip for a weekend or something like that, go up and check it out. It is a spectacular place. Absolutely spectacular.
If you want to continue a grand tradition, or if you want to start a grand tradition, the Grand Tradition in Fallbrook is your place.
Wow.
How's that?
Are you on the payroll?
No.
That was well done.
Yeah, thank you.
I can't remember if I mentioned it last week or not, or maybe it was last week that we did it. Melanie and I were going to go, out and go for a hike. So we went up to, it was on a Sunday. So we, about 12:30 or 1 o'clock, something like that. So we went up to Blue Sky Preserve.
Camp Park.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So what we did was we kept going west a little bit to Old Coach.
And did you circle back?
No, we didn't circle back.
Okay.
There's a parking lot just off of Old Coach Road, and then Old Coach Trail starts across the street from the parking lot. It goes down and wraps around Madaris, and it actually ends at a point that overlooks San Pasqual. We didn't go all the way, but there was nobody there. I mean, it was completely empty. I think we passed 2 or 3 people, but Blue Sky was insane.
Blue Sky was the hike that I went on in early autumn with the bobcat, the little kitten that followed me the entirety of the hike up towards the dam.
Nothing but blue skies.
That's a hike. It's a little aggressive at the end. That the blacktop up to the dam itself is, if you're old and out of shape. Which I'm not. I am old, but I'm not out of shape.
It's
tough.
Old Coach was an outstanding alternative for us. And you wind your way through some of the estates. that surround the golf course, and then you have a view out over the Madeiras golf course. It's not too aggressive as far as grade is concerned. It was really nice. It was really, really nice. I would highly recommend Old Coach Trail.
You know, you say you're not old, or you are old.
I am old.
But I just had a Facebook thing come up with a picture of you behind a microphone in another studio 4 years ago, and you looked very, very young there. And you do look old. You look more mature now. You look almost like an adult now.
Oh, I'm getting there.
The pandemic's been hard on me.
It's been tough, yeah.
Takes its toll.
It takes its toll on all of us.
Oh, well, I don't even know how we got off the subject of...
Native pollinators?
No, Proteus.
Oh.
We get phone calls from them all year, but this is typically the time when we can get them. So again, it's another thing that get them now.
But we don't get a lot of like king Proteus.
Correct.
We typically get the leucodendrons and the leucospermums.
We had a couple of standard king Proteus, and we had
Minis.
A couple of dwarf.
Is that Proteus. What's blooming? The little dwarf one?
The big ones had buds on them. I can't remember if the dwarf ones did.
Can we call them that?
What, dwarf?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
It's a plant.
It's okay.
I think so.
Just making sure.
It's not gonna come and attack you.
Go ahead. I don't know where to go from there.
I think we should just go.
Yeah.
To talk for 20 more seconds.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will be back here next Saturday with another hour of Garden Talk.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.